This is a lesson that helped me certainly when I went through it many times. I hope you all have a handout. Interesting thing, Pastor asked me if I had the handout or if he needed to give me one. I said I have it. I got it off the internet, and it's different than the one he prepared, but it's not much different. So I was able to at least get that put together. When we become Christians, we need to grow in our faith. And there are spiritual disciplines that help us to do that. The spiritual disciplines are quite different than spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And spiritual disciplines are habits that we develop to help us grow in our Christian lives. Any habit that we have takes time to develop. Even you go back down to some little things, like in our daily lives, brushing your teeth. Your mom had to keep telling you to brush your teeth. Pretty soon, you've learned that habit. You do it automatically, and that keeps your teeth well. Disciplines work the same way. Spiritual disciplines work the same way. If an athlete wants to be real good in his sport, he needs to train. He needs to know the sport. He needs to have strength and agility, and then he can perform well. Musicians, when they're playing their music, it all of a sudden didn't come. They had to work hard. They had to go over it. They had to rehearse it so that it was played very well for their audience. And none of them were born able to do these things. It took a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline, and making themselves do well. I took piano lessons. I wasn't disciplined. I could play a couple of things that they taught me to memorize, but I never learned how to play the piano. After 2 years, my mom gave up. So it's disciplines are something that you work at. Spiritual disciplines are something also that you work at, and it leads us to growth and holiness in our Christian lives. In 1 Peter, it says that we have everything we need for a godly life. Oh, by the way, it'll be a while before we get to your outline, okay? What we need comes from our knowledge of Him, and that knowledge comes from the written word, the Bible. Two types of spiritual disciplines. One is a corporate discipline, and that's where the whole church, the whole assembly can do it together. And then there's personal spiritual disciplines. The personal ones are the ones that we need to develop ourselves. Becoming more disciplined in our faith is a good thing as long as the disciplines are handled responsibly. Reading God's Word is a discipline. And if we read just to read and say, to be able to say we've read today, that doesn't help us grow in our spiritual lives. We need to be able to contemplate what that does for us and be able to respond to it. Last week, I wasn't here. But my understanding is that Pastor went over the purpose of spiritual disciplines, which was godliness. And key verse was 1 Timothy 4:7-8, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The two main points, spiritual discipline, are the means to godliness. God helps us to grow through the spiritual disciplines. And the Lord expects them. Holiness isn't optional for the Christian. We must really work at it. And then in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, Paul again uses that image of the athlete, comparing it to spiritual discipline. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul uses very strong language. He's about beating himself and holding himself to the line to make sure that he's doing the right thing. And if athletes can do that much work and that much effort for a temporal prize, we should be willing to do that type of effort in order to gain our spiritual reward. So it takes work, a lot of effort on our part. And your effort in your spiritual discipline gets rewarded. In Proverbs 13:4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." At the same time, we must also remember it's God's grace alone that helps us into godliness. We don't have the power ourselves. God saved us for His glory, and as a result, He enables us to live holy lives. Then in Philippians 2:12 and 13, Paul conveys this balance perfectly. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." And then two more references, one in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And then 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." That's the goal that we should all strive to go to. We should be able to say when we see Christ that I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. What a great goal to have. So that brings us to a spiritual discipline called Bible intake. And that'll bring us up to our outline here today. So there's several references here that rather than me just talking, and if you want to stop me at any time, please speak out. But let's have some people read these references as they come along. Somebody take 1 Peter 1:23. Okay. And 1 Peter 2:2. Tony. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Thank you. Okay, and James 1:22-25. And then we'll get down further, and then we'll thank you. And then when we get past James, I hope I don't forget to go through some more here. So, the Bible. Why is it so critical to Christian life? And in Pastor's handout, there was a couple of blanks. These got blanks. I didn't have blanks. It was a totally different thing. Anyway, who's going to fill in a blank? God gives us blank through Scripture. Well, He gives us a new birth through Scripture. Scripture is the means God uses to bring us about our new birth in Jesus Christ. So 1 Peter 1:23. So through the Word of God, we're able to understand, and with the Holy Spirit's help, we find out how to become Christians. Christianity is a revealed religion. God has not only acted in history, but He's interpreted His actions for us in the Bible. And we need to recognize that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's a revelation of himself to us, and the Bible is the very word of God. You know, we know that, we hear that, but really putting that in our hearts, that the Bible's really the word of God, you know, puts a totally different dimension than picking up a different, just picking up the book. So how do we become Christians? It's by listening to God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The Bible teaches us of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It shows us a need for a Savior, who the Savior is, and how we can receive him. The Bible reveals just how God is perfect and just. It reveals to us our sinfulness when we compare ourselves with how we see what God is and what we are and what we have in our hearts. We all know ourselves that we certainly are sinful. It also teaches God is full of mercy and compassion. So he doesn't judge us what we really need, how we really need to be judged. He has mercy and compassion. And we also learn that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Good works, no. Doing whatever we can, spiritual disciplines, no. None of that is going to save us. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. After 3 days, he raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. And the Bible encourages us to come to Jesus, in whom alone is found life and joy and peace. So first, God uses the Scriptures to bring us to Jesus Christ. Second, God uses the Scriptures to help us grow. We need to be in the Scriptures to help, so we can grow. Bible teaches us we ought to live for God's glory as those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. So let's read 1 Peter 2:2. Everybody knows that babies seek milk. That's the only thing they can drink. That's the only thing they can digest. They can't take on what you and I can take on. It starts out with the milk. And it's a great desire for the milk. If they don't get it, they scream and holler. And he wants us to be like that for the Word. Have that kind of desire, that we really desire the Word of God. The analogy of God being sustaining food and drink is used over and over again in the Bible. It communicates the idea of sustenance and satisfaction. In John, Christ declares, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. He is the living word." Then in Deuteronomy 8:3, please. Did I miss that one? Okay, I missed that one. It says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Just as we need a regular diet of food, we need a regular diet of God's word to keep us spiritually healthy. The food we consume with our mouths satisfies us temporarily, but learning from God's word has eternal value. Do we shun worldliness, or do we seek to conform? Do we yearn to live more like Christ? Paul tells us in Romans 12:2 to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Consider the context of Paul's statement. Earlier he had written about the gospel in great detail, and these two truths were meant to transform the lives of the readers. So if our minds are renewed, we need to deepen our knowledge in God's word, especially the gospel. We must be disciplined in our Bible intake if we are to think and act biblically. So the word is critical for our Christian lives, first of all, because it leads us to salvation, and second, it helps us to grow. Without it, you can't grow. So before we talk about various ways of Bible intake, let's consider three necessary conditions. First one, we must reverence the Scripture as God's Word. We talk about the infallible Word of God. It's God-breathed. It's perfect. And do we really embrace that? In Thessalonians 2:13, we have that one. So really the Word of God. In Thessalonians, they, in their work and their effort in listening, they accepted it as the Word of God. The second condition is humility and a sincere dependence on God. We need the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds. We can't do it ourselves. Without God's help, we can't understand it. And Reformers call the activity of God, which is the truth of His Word, pressed upon the mind and conscience of His people, the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. And we know that without the Holy Spirit, we can't receive God's and obey God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:14. So they can't understand without the Holy Spirit. And God tells us that. We should pray, open my eyes, and I may see the wonderful things in your law, as David did in Psalms 119. So we must reverence the Scripture. We must have a sincere dependence on Christ. And the third condition is that our hearts must be receptive to God's Word. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the different kinds of grounds that the seed is planted on. Everybody remembers that, I'm sure. And the good ground, that's where the seed falls, takes root, grows up, bears fruit. That's what we want in our heart. That's what kind of ground we want to be. And James exhorts us to be doers of the Word and not only hearers. James 1, 22 to 25. So we'll be conformed to Christ if we don't just merely listen. We need to listen and observe and apply. And as Pastor says every week, we need to be able to respond to Christ through the Bible. So, first of all, we need to accept the Word as the Word of God. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to have a receptive heart. So now we're into hearing the ways of Bible intake. The ways of Bible intake are toward the end of the first page here in item 3. So hearing the Word of God. So for most of us, disciplining ourselves to hear the Word of God means that we come to church, we listen to the sermons, we take the opportunity to get here on time and be prepared so that we can listen to the Word. And that's, if you're a Christian, you want to do that. Many people don't have the Word to listen to, but preaching is something that God has ordained for His glory and the good of the people. And there's a couple of instances here where that shows it through the Scripture about preaching. For instance, we see taking place in Deuteronomy before Israel crosses the Jordan River to take possession of the Promised Land. Moses teaches the people about God's word of redemption in their history. He expounds the law and teaching the people their obligation to live in obedience. I've been reading the scriptures more this year than probably ever before, and reading in the Old Testament how sad God must have been to see how the nation of Israel, he'd discipline them, they'd come back, they'd start good, and then all of a sudden, I mean, reading through the book of Jeremiah, about every chapter they get, God clobbers them, they come back, and then then they go back to burning incense and doing such terrible things. It's hard to believe that with the history that they had and with the knowledge that they had and with the background and all the wonderful things God has done for them, taking them out of Egypt and getting the promised land, and then yet they would constantly go to the foreign gods and things. And so they needed this preaching about obedience. And then the Israelites, when they returned from their exile in Babylon, Ezra and the priests appear before the people, and they read and they taught God's law. Constant teaching they needed. They needed to hear God's word in order to be able to keep straight. Do we have Nehemiah 8:8? Or are we going to go through another round of this? Let's go through, I guess we go through another round. Nehemiah 8:8, who will take that one? Okay, Mike. Ephesians 4:11-13. Thank you. Luke 11:27-28. Alex, thank you. And Mike will take 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Then I think there's just one more. And that's Matthew 22:31-32. Tony, thank you. So let's read the Nehemiah 8:8, please. So preaching is using God's word. They read it, and then they gave the meaning. The pattern continues to the New Testament. The resurrected Christ appears to Peter and urges him to feed his sheep, no doubt referring to the faithful teaching of the word for spiritual nourishment of God's people. So, in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul exhorts Timothy to devote himself to public reading of the Scripture, to preaching and teaching. That's our method of Bible intake. So Ephesians 4:11-13, please. Thanks. So seeing how God has blessed the church with teachers and other things, what should our response be? We need to discipline ourselves to hear the word of God. God has given us the preacher. God's given us the teaching. We should be disciplining ourselves to listen to that. In Luke 11:27-28, Christ speaks of the blessings that come to us through hearing and obeying the word. Luke 11:27-28. Yes, those who blessed, more blessed are those who hear and keep the word of God, who obey the word of God. We would do well to take heart Jesus' exhortation. He who has ears, let him hear. Some practical ways which we can discipline ourselves to hearing God's word. Of course, the Sunday morning service, we talked about that. And as a family of believers, we sit and listen to God's word expounded to us. In order to profit from that teaching, we need to be prepared. We should be maybe starting our preparation on Saturday night by having a decent night's sleep by getting up at a reasonable time and getting to the place where we can hear God's word on time and without being rushed. So we don't want to be tired or distracted if we're going to be listening to God's word. But we need to be active and aggressive listeners. We don't want to just come and sit and listen or fall asleep or work on our cell phones or whatever. I know that some people use their cell phones for scripture reading, and I do sometimes too. But just so the temptation doesn't go beyond that for people, that'd be wonderful. Pastor likes the actual book. It's much more convenient to use the electronics, but there's nothing else in that book but the real book. Another way we can listen besides listening to preaching is there's CDs of sermons or scripture being read. There's the internet is also a great resource for sermons. If you don't have a Bible app on your cell phone, you should have one. There's two very good ones that I'm aware of. One is just simply called the Bible, and it's called the U version of the Bible. You can get any version of the Bible that you want just by opening up that app and selecting it. There's a lot of interesting things about that. It gives you a daily verse, and I know some of you use that. It also gives some search capability, but you can find things very easily, and it works very nice. The other is the Blue Letter Bible. The first one, the Bible app, actually, and some of the versions has a sound so that you can just tap it and it will read it to you. And that is a very nice feature, and the voice isn't too bad. Yeah. Then the Blue Letter Bible, that has much more search capability. You can search words, you can search various things there. They both are good, and they both give you some really good direction as far as how to use them. So I'd encourage you, if you don't have a Bible app on your phone, to use that. So that'd be another way of hearing. And the second one, after hearing, is reading God's Word. Knowing the value of God's Word should motivate us to read it regularly. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So we have the actual words of God written for us here. And because it's God-breathed, it's infallible and authoritative. And as the scripture says, it's used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. How do we know what to believe? Scripture teaches us God's truth. How do we know we've sinned against God? The scripture tells us. How do we know to turn from sin? Scripture corrects us and leads us back to obedience to God. How do we know to grow in godliness? Scripture trains us in righteousness. The sufficiency of the Scriptures equips us for every good work. Christ often says, "Have you not read?" or "Have you not read in the law?" He assumed that those claiming to be people of God would have read the Word of God. Matthew 22, 31 and 32, please.
But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living."
Isn't that wonderful to know that God is a God of the living? And that we are going to be able to enjoy eternity with Him. Well, Christ knew the Scriptures. He would often say, "It is written," to answer His questions or accusers. We also see an example of this in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. as he was tempted by Satan. And I don't think nobody has Matthew 4, 1 to 11, do they? So in the first place, Christ said, it's written, man should not live by bread alone. And then later it says, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And for it is written, worship the Lord God and serve him only, as the devil tempted him in various ways. So Christ uses the scripture. Many years ago, a British preacher said, surely we have to be realistic and honest with ourselves to know how regularly we need to turn to the Bible. How often do we face problems, temptation, and pressure? Every day. Then how often do we need instruction, guidance, and greater encouragement? Every day. To catch all those felt-up needs into an even greater issue, how often do we need to see God's face, hear His voice, feel His touch, know His power? The answer to all these questions is the same. Every day. D.L. Moody put it, a man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain him for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it. I thought that that example is going to stick with me. You can't take one big, huge breath and last a week, and you can't come Sunday morning and expect that to last you for the week either. Three ways for success in Bible reading. And I know many of you are doing some of these things, and that's wonderful. And certainly keep it up. We need to schedule a time. First thing we need to do is schedule a time. Schedule our time so that we have it set aside for God's Word, not to leave it to chance and say, well, I'll have time sometime, such and so. I know that that doesn't work for me. If I don't set a time, I don't get it done right. And by the way, it's about 15 minutes a day will take you through the Bible in less than a year. Yeah. And not encouraging speed reading, please. The next thing is that we should find a Bible reading plan. Just there's so many plans out there. You can Google Bible reading plans, and it comes up with a plan, any kind of plan that you could even think of. Some plans take a few chapters of the Old Testament, a few chapters of the New, and some do it in a different order. Personally, I just started at Genesis this year, and I'm about halfway through Jeremiah right now. But when we read God's Word, it's like getting our intake for food and whatever, but then we need to spend a little time after we're done reading looking at least one thing that we can meditate on for the day. One thing that's going to help us. Sometimes it's pretty hard to find one, but the Lord will help you do that. Going one step further would be studying God's Word. So, like reading God's Word, might be like taking a motorboat across the lake, and you see what's there, you get a good idea of what's around the lake. And the studying would be more like in depth. You get underneath the surface and really know what's really there. In Ezra, he had begun his journey from Babylon the first day of the month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the fifth day of the month, for the gracious hand of God was on him. And it says, for Ezra devoted himself to study and observance of the law of the Lord, as to teaching its decrees and laws to Israel. You know, these folks, they didn't have what we have. We have the New Testament. We have a much clearer, well, we have a clear understanding of Jesus Christ and His work for us. These people were doing an awful lot on faith with the prophets. If we only had the prophets, it would be very, very difficult for us to get involved and to study, because these folks didn't have the the wonderful personal promises that we have from Christ. So studying the Word isn't an intellectual exercise. Even back then, Ezra obeyed the Word as he taught it to others. Studying the Word should help us to grow in godliness and edify others and be able to encourage people. More intelligent knowledge sometimes leads to pride, but a true understanding of God's Word in our lives increases our obedience and edifies those around us. Again, in Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, as described in Acts, there's a group called the Bereans. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And that's what we need to do too. When we hear preaching, we need to be willing to look at it and compare it with the Word of God. That's God's direction to us, that we need to make sure that we understand and that it's clear to us that it's true. There's so much untruth going around in sermons now. If you pop on the internet and Google some sermons, you're going to get some sermons that won't have any scripture in them, won't have Jesus Christ in them, but they have a totally different approach and attitude toward what Christianity is. God is pleased when we delight in His Word, when we have a desire to study it. So, some of the things that are, if you look in your outline, some of the things that are practical methods to help us to study, there's those five questions there. And question number one says, what does the Bible have to say? That's obviously what we do when we want to read and study the Word. What does it say? And then the next one, what does the text mean? You look at that line, those lines of, 10, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 items there. You wouldn't be here right now if you were doing all those with the scriptures, because you'd be still home on point number three if you were me. These are things that I'm afraid that the gentleman who put this together is probably quite a good seminary teacher, and he's getting people to be able to really get into this, the studying hard. Stop after the question. What does the text mean? Look at it. See what it means for yourself. If you have questions, if you have a burning question, look in a concordance. Look in a cross-reference that shows up in your Bible. But to go through and do the rest of this, don't feel that that's... You need to do what's important to help you grow, not to help you gain a tremendous amount of knowledge unless it's going to help you grow. Number three, I can't even read my own writing. What concerns cause this text to be written? So some of the texts in that Paul wrote were because of error in the church, and he wrote them to correct that error. Some were because people weren't loving enough, or some were there for encouragement because of various events. What caused the message to be, or text to be written? And then how do I fit in, number four, with the common with the original audience or the author of the text? How do I fit in? And then the big question is, how do I respond to the truths of the text? So, wherever we are with our... Well, there's other things. The application, we're going to just get down here. How does it fit in for us? I didn't get into details of those five questions. No intent to. They're good questions to ask when you study them, and suggestions how to answer them are very good. But that study comes down way down the road for most of us. I'm not sure I'll ever get near there. We all must take a step, though. Whether if you're just hearing the word now, you need to step it up. Step up to reading. Schedule a time. Get your reading done. Then, if you're already reading and you're enjoying the Word of God on a regular basis, then step up to a little studying. Get your studying started. Bible intake's a progression, just like the rest of the things in life. We need to grow into it. And in order to be a follower of Christ that is pleasing to Christ, we need to grow into our Bible intake in those ways. So that's it. And we hope that everyone can respond in the way that you need to in order to increase your Bible intake in some way.